Well, do you mean it?
How about that worship this morning, guys, to kick off a new year? I'll tell you what, I could have just sat right there for 15 or 20 minutes when we wrap that up. I mean, Gary, team, what a beautiful job to get us moving into a new year, just to give God the glory and the honor for the days ahead. Well, Happy New Year. I think most of us can relate to the futility of resolutions this time of the year. Be honest, how many of you have made a New Year's resolution? It's just kind of a traditional thing that a lot of us do. You know, I swore off resolutions. I know I shouldn't swear, but I did. Because I could never kind of, you know, achieve those resolutions. But every year, although when it comes around this time of the year, I'm consistently saying, you know, I need to take those 10 pounds off. It's just that time when we begin to look at fresh and new things. And oftentimes when we have a little break, we got a little time off of work, time out of the busy schedule to really think through those things. So whether it's diet or exercise or relationships or finances, you know, the turning of a calendar page does not miraculously change ingrained patterns in our lives. How many of you figured that one out? That's why all too often we make the exact same resolutions every single year. This time, I mean it. And so on this first Sunday of 2018, I want to challenge every one of us to make a different resolution. A resolution that may initially sound a bit surprising to you. And that resolution is this. And I want you to read it with me. This year, I resolve not to make God a priority, but to make God the priority. Amen? You guys really didn't participate in that. Did you read that and you didn't want to go there? Or what's going on there? So let's read this together. How about that? 1, 2, 3. This year, I resolve not to make God a priority, but to make God the priority. You know, if you want to be who God wants you to be and you want to go where God wants you to go, He must be the priority in your life. Half-hearted followers lead half-hearted lives. Resolve to make God the priority in your life this year and watch possibilities turn into realities. The first commandment that God gave Moses that he carried off the mountain, if you'll remember, was this. Exodus 20, verse 3. He said, "You shall have no other gods before me." You know, when it comes to living into God's will for your life, that's the first button in the first buttonhole. You get that one wrong and life is going to get crooked in a hurry. If we're going to believe God for big things in 2018, He's got to be the biggest thing we're believing in. Amen? Let me ask you something this morning. What's competing with God for first place in your life right now? Think about it. And we've all got that thing, or usually those things that are competing with God for the priority in our life. Might be your job. Might be your family. A lot of good things are the enemy of the best thing. Might be your finances. Could be your desire for comfort, your desire for security. Maybe it's a football team. Now you're meddling. Oh, by the way, that reminds me, and you know I don't go there from here, but Ron, on behalf of the Laving Houses, says that he demanded equal time today. So I know Gary said, "Go dog," so I guess I got to say, "Roll Tide." Okay, so that's all That's evened out, and that's a wrap. Jesus reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount that what we worry about the most is often an indication of what we're placing first in our life. Think about that. I'm a worrier. Man, I was born a worrier. What you worry about the most is often an indication of what you're placing first in your life. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, speaking to the disciples. He said, "Oh, you of little faith." He said, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Man, for the pagans run after all those things. And your heavenly Father, man, He knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Resolve to make God the priority in your life this year. And watch those possibilities, all those things, become realities when you seek Him first. It seems so simple, doesn't it? But there's so many things in this world, in our own lives, attached to our flesh, that compete against us making God the priority in our lives. Let me ask you something. We're starting this series called Possibilities, believing God for big things. What big thing are you believing God for in 2018? I'm not talking about a resolution. I'm talking about something in your life that needs to change. Something in your life that needs to move from a dead place to a living place. What big thing are you believing God for in 2018? What desperately needs to change in your life this year? Scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so as we resolve to make Him the priority in our lives, faith must lead the way. Faith that He can make dead things live again. Faith that He can bring healing to a relationship. Faith that He can make crooked things in our lives straight again. What big thing are you believing God for this year? What would life look like if that big thing came to pass? Think about that. Envision the possibility. If that were to change, envision the possibility if God were to answer that prayer, and then trust Him to make it a reality. In Matthew 17, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me there now. Matthew chapter 17, in verse 14. A man approaches Jesus just out of a crowd, which so often happened as He was moving from place to place and speaking and teaching and preaching to those who would listen. And the man asked Jesus to have mercy on his son, who was afflicted with seizures and thought to be possessed by a demon. The man had already evidently brought the boy to Jesus' disciples, but they were unable to heal him. They were unable to cast the demon out. Jesus immediately responds to the man and He heals the boy immediately and drives the demon out of him. And in verse 19 of chapter 17, Matthew tells us that the disciples came to Jesus after that in private and they asked Him, "Why couldn't we drive it out? Why couldn't we do that big thing?" And Jesus replied, "Because you have so little faith." And it gets a little confusing here. Jesus says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Seeming contradiction there, if you pay close attention to the Scripture. Jesus tells them that they have so little faith, that's why they couldn't cast the demon out. And then He tells them all they need is what? A little faith. You got so little faith, all you need is a little faith. Okay. Scripture tells us that faith is a gift. Don't forget that. You can't manufacture your own faith. You can't conjure up your own faith. Faith is a gift that God gives to each of us in different measure. It's a gift of God's grace. It's not something that we can manufacture on our own. And the opposite of faith, though, in God, is reliance on self. The opposite of faith in God is believing that it's all up to you to make it happen. And that's what Jesus is rebuking the disciples for here. Trusting in their own capacity and their own ability to cast this demon out. So if it, well, how do you know that? Where do you get that from? In Mark's version of this story, and in the King James Version, in Matthew's version, Jesus says this at the end of this passage. He says, these kind, He's talking about these big things, this demon in particular here, says, these kinds come out only by prayer and fasting. In other words, these big things happen only by focusing first on the Father and trusting Him to bring it to pass. You can have faith in all sorts of things. You can have faith in yourself. You can have faith in other people. But it is the object of our faith that makes the difference. And when our faith is in the Father, when our faith is in the surety of the Lord, possibilities become realities. What's the object of your faith this morning? Is it the character, the power, and the person of God Almighty? Or is it in your own capacity and ability? And I don't know about you, but sometimes for me it's hard to figure out, you know, where God stops and I start. You know, what's God's job and what's my job? I always go back to square one. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, as I mentioned earlier, worry is a symptom of self-reliance. But I've got intimate experience with this. Worry is a symptom of self-reliance. Because we're allowing our peace to be determined by a prescribed outcome. Are you with me? I'm worried about how this is going to turn out. And the reason I don't have peace right now is because I'm worried I'm not going to get the outcome I want. That's where worry comes from. God doesn't promise prescribed outcomes. Did you know that? That's why that big thing you're praying about, it may not come to pass this year the way that you want it to come to pass. It may come to pass the way God knows it is best for it to come to pass. God doesn't promise prescribed outcomes this side of heaven. There is one prescribed outcome that He does promise us, and that is that we will spend an eternity with Him if we have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ. God promises His presence and His peace in the midst of it all. That is His promise to us this side of heaven. So if you want to believe God for big things this year, Let me share four things with you in the time that we've got left this morning. Number one, you got to have a little faith. You got to have a little faith. Jesus said, truly I tell you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it's going to move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And start this year with a little faith. Believing God for big things is not about how big your faith is. It's about how big your God is. Amen? Making sure the object of your faith is rightly placed. Jesus' audience in the first century was familiar with the size of a mustard seed and what came out of it. Take a look at that graphic. That's a mustard seed. I mean, it's like the head of a pin. And so Jesus paints this beautiful picture, as he always does, with something that those around him were familiar with. And growing in the ancient Near East were mustard trees. And to the right there, you see a full-grown mustard tree that rose out of something no larger than the head of a pin. Have a little faith. It's not up to you to change that thing. It's not up to you to move your business to this new place that you dream it would go. It's not up to you to make that amount of money. It's not up to you to change that relationship. God wants us just to have a little faith, to place it in His hands, and He will bring about something great. Something larger than we could ever imagine from just a little bit of faith in Him. One of the smallest seeds creates one of the largest trees. A little faith rightly placed moves mountains and turns possibilities into realities. What are you believing God for that only He can do? We can do all kinds of stuff. But the adventure lies in trusting Him to do what only He can do. Need new life in your marriage? Marriages go through seasons. Kim and I have been married for 31 years. A lot of seasons. We all go through seasons. Do you need new life in your marriage that you've been unable to manufacture? You've been unable to make happen? Have a little faith. Rightly placed. Need to turn around a prodigal child? God can do that. Need to fix your finances? After Christmas, the whole church said amen. And whatever it is, have a little faith. But along with having a little bit of faith, you need to make sure it's biblical. We want all kinds of things. Proverbs says, chapter 14, verse 2, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Make sure the big thing you're believing God for this year is kingdom advancing. Okay, that's the litmus test. Is what I'm believing God for, is what I'm praying will happen in my life, is it all about me or is it about giving God the glory? That's when God shows up. If it's all about you, it's all about what you can do, what you want. God doesn't want any of that. He's all about everything that is advancing His kingdom. Praying for the outcome of a ball game, which I confess to doing on the very first day of this year, is not kingdom advancing. You know, if you want to look better, if you want to feel better, if you want to make more money or build better relationships, Make sure you're doing it for God's glory and not your own. God honors kingdom advancing goals. So make sure your big thing is biblical. And then just stay connected to Him. And stay close to Christ. Start today. Just opening your heart, opening your life, talking to Him. Staying connected to Him. Jesus said, I'm the vine. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He said, if a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. That's a staggering passage of Scripture right there. Clear as a bell. If we don't stay connected to Him, we're not going to produce fruit. We're not going to do anything meaningful for God's kingdom. Seek Him. Listen to Him. Go where He leads. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And He'll do what? He'll make your path straight. He'll show you where to go. So stay close to Him. And finally, be obedient. Be obedient. And a lot of folks in our culture don't like to hear those words anymore. And we don't hear those words that often anymore. And as you thumb through the pages of Scripture, over and over and over and over and over again, God says, obey my commandments. He who loves me obeys my commandments. And do what He says. So what does that look like, Phil? It means doing the next right thing. What's the next right thing you need to do? It doesn't mean it's an easy thing. Be obedient. Deuteronomy 5 says, walk in obedience to all the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days. God honors living in Him, not living in sin. Those areas of your life that you know are not pleasing to Him. Man, we've all got them. As we approach a new year, as we enter this new year, lay those things at the foot of the cross. As difficult as they may be to pry your fingers off of, if you know in your heart, if the Spirit that resides within you is convicting you, that this is not pleasing to God, man, just give it to Him. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Why? Because a pure life is a powerful life. A pure life is a powerful life. And let's believe God for big things this year. Are you ready? And let's just watch and see what only He can do. Individually and as a church, as a whole. And I think God's going to do big things here this year. God's done big things since we planted this church 13 years ago. But He's going to do even greater things this year. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to us experiencing this adventure together. William Carey put it this way, and this is our mantra as we move forward. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. In other words, trust God and take action as we move into yet another year. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for the gift of Jesus. Lord, we acknowledge that He is our rock and our salvation. But Lord, He is our priority. That His death, burial, and resurrection that we receive by faith, reconciles us to You and brings us in relationship with You for all eternity. And we thank You that that's been handled, Lord. That great possibility is a reality. Father, as we approach a new year, as we enter into it, we just entrust it to You. Lord, those things that need to change in our lives, those big things that we're trusting You for in the year ahead, Father, we have faith. Lord, we relinquish our own capacity, our own ability to make good things happen. And Lord, we trust that You will make those possibilities into realities. And we pray that prayer in the powerful and sure name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.